I guess I'm pleasantly surprised. I had when I had this idea to put this together, I had resigned myself to either 5 people coming or 500 people coming. I wasn't sure where it was going to be, but I'd say I'm pleasantly surprised, and I think it's a credit to the community that the Tzibor is able to understand that they are interested in something more, that there's something higher, there's something greater, there's something that can draw them more than perhaps it's being offered on TV tonight. And it's really a credit to you, and it's really a credit to the community as well. I think perhaps, depending on how I run, how long I go, I might try to, in short, maybe there's been requests for a Maariv. So if we have time between this year and the next year, we might try to catch a Maariv for those who might need. I had, going into Shabbos, a certain idea of what I wanted to talk about during the slot, and then Rachman al-Itzlan, after I saw the pictures of from Eretz Yisrael and that terrible avaya that took place, I felt that I had to talk about something else. Not in the sense to dwell on depressing and sad things, but I think a point that touches upon something that we think about when these things happen, and then unfortunately, also, over the last 24 hours, also Moshe Shabbos, I saw that a colleague of mine, Rabbi Phil Moskowitz, who's a Rav in Boca Raton, had also, unfortunately, lost his daughter as well, and this kept on playing out in my mind as well, and I tried to push it away, and I was not able to push it away, and I want to talk about a different sugya that I think relates to Harbatzas HaTorah, and increased Talmud Torah, which is obviously our theme for tonight, but also I think speaks to current events and to put our mind in a particular place. I want to talk about what happens when we do a mitzvah li'ilui nishma someone. When we do something, when we daven more, we do more mitzvos, we learn more Torah, we say mishnayos, what is going on in Shemayim? Does that do anything for the neshama? What is that doing for us? And then specifically, I want to talk about, as well at the end, about the special zechus and what Gedol Yisrael said about what learning Torah does for the neshama that passes away and how it impacts and makes the greatest, greatest roshem on that neshama in the Olam HaEmes. What exactly is done for the neshama of the nifter when we do a mitzvah for the neshama? If the person didn't do it themselves, as we say, Meisim chavshim in a mitzvos, that those who are deceased have no shaychas to mitzvos. They can't do mitzvos. They're not connected anymore. As the Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, this is the world where we work. This is the world where we push, where we do mitzvos, where we serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the next world is the place where we get our reward. That's how the world is designed. So how is it possible? A person says Kaddish, a person learns Mishnayos, a person goes to Minyan when they weren't going to Minyan, a person does all types of things. How is that possibly affecting the Neshama if that's there and we're over here? We understand the issue. We have to first talk about what our goals are and what are we trying to do in this particular area. Let's talk in particular, let's say about Kaddish. Kaddish, if you read Kaddish, has nothing to do with people who have passed away. There's no mentioning of people who are nifter. There's a strange line about nechamasa, that there's some sort of nechama, but that's not in all the different kaddishes. It's a funny thing. So what exactly is going on when we say kaddish? Well, the simple reason would seem to be that when a person says kaddish for someone who's passed away, it creates a kiddush Hashem. Even though they are going through the pain and the loss of losing somebody, they can still stand in front of the tzibur, in front of the shul, and they can get up and say, Yehei Shmei Rabbah, they can cause the tzibur to make and declare a Kiddush Hashem. That is a very impressive thing. Even someone who in their loss and their pain can declare that Hashem is MS and his Torah is MS, and when he does his MS and he's the dying MS, that creates a tremendous schus for the neshama. That's in one regard. There's a great gon and a great gadol who lived in the 2 centuries ago, Rav Eliyahu Rugler. So he writes in this tzava that's printed in his Yad Eliyahu to his children, and he tells them, when you say Kaddish for me, you must not think about me. When you say Kaddish, it is only to make a Kiddush Hashem L'Shem Shemayim. And if you're saying it because you think that it's doing something for me, better don't say it. Because the only real kavanah when saying Kaddish is to be Mekaddish Shem Shemayim. To declare that Hashem is the one true God, that Hashem's name should be great, but if you're thinking about me, and you're doing it for me, so you're not actually saying a real Kaddish. That's a shocking thing, because anyone who's saying Kaddish for a nifter is probably only thinking about the Niftar and not thinking about too many things. So how could this great Gaon say such a thing? Now, he's probably perhaps in the minority. Rav Yosef Chaim Zunfeld in the Tshuva Salmas Chaim clearly says that one does have kavana for the neshama of the Niftar when saying Kaddish to a mitzvah. The Ben Ish Chai writes as well in his Tshuvas that when you say Kaddish for someone who passes away, you are having kavana that it's the shame that the neshama should have some sort of benefit, some sort of good that's given to it. And Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, the great Sfari Rav Yerushalayim, writes in the Kaf HaChaim in Siman Nun Hey, which is the laws of Kaddish, that certainly a person has in mind that when saying Kaddish, you're thinking about that person as well. There is a very interesting compromise. There was a great, interesting Gaon in Tzaddik, Naftali Zilberberg. He was a Talmud of three very different Gadol Yisrael. He was a Chassid of the Emri Emes, he learned by Rasul Salanter, and he was also a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi. A very eclectic, very interesting group of Rebbeim. So he writes in the Darchei Chaim, and he records that when you say Kaddish, he told his children that when you say Kaddish, you have two kavanas. When you're saying Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, you're talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He said, so you should think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's who you should think about. But when you say that Hashem is Osa Shalom Bimromav, that Hashem brings Shalom, so you should think that that shalom, that peace, is applying to my neshama. So he wants to dance at both chasanas. He wants to be it's only for Hashem, but he also wants to be that it's for the neshama as well. So that marimakom was pointed out, I heard once in a shir from Rav Asher Weiss, and he said that that's an interesting compromise. Is that exactly what's going on here? It's hard to say. There is a gemarim sachem and a gemar Rosh Hashanah. The gemarim sachem and gemar Rosh Hashanah say that a person can give tzedakah for the refuah of someone to get better. And if I give $1,000 to tzedakah, and I also have in mind that that $1,000 should be for the refuah, for the well-being of somebody, so what does the Gemara call such a person? A tzaddik gemar. A person's a tzaddik gemar. So Tosus there asks a very important question. We all learn Pirkei Avos in the summer. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Everyone should be an Eved. HaMashabash Nesarav Shalom Mekabel Pras. That we serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu not to get a reward. So says Tosus, how can you call me a tzaddik gemar if I'm doing it for a benefit from a Kaddish Baruch Hu? How could both things exist? So Tosus says that you can have two kavanas. We're big boys. We're big girls. I can think of two things at the same time, right? I can go to the store. I can look at my grocery list. I can also think about how I'm going to be late for Shabbos. I can do two things at the same time. Why can't I handle giving tzedakah and also thinking that I want to benefit from the schar giving tzedakah? But you shouldn't only do a mitzvah just for the benefit and not to serve Hashem. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Chos Shuva in Perek Yud. He says, Amru Chachamim Harishonim, Shema Tomar Harini Lama Torah Bishvil Shia Ashir. People will say that a person might, will go and say that I'm going to learn Torah, that I should be wealthy, Bishvil She'ekar Rebbe, I should be a rabbi, Bishvil She'ekabas Chab Olam Haba, or I'm going to learn Torah, then we get Schar Olam Haba. And the Rambam says, that's not good. That's considered a lesser form of learning. What are you talking about? We've all been taught from the time we're young, the goal is Olam Haba. So you're going to tell me that I came out tonight and I sat through, 3 hours of shir, maybe a little daf gemara, and you're going to tell me, come on, I mean, food is okay, and, football's not my thing, whatever it might be, but, 4 hours of Torah, Hashem, there's got to be a little Olam Haba waiting there for me, something, right? And the Rambam says that it's you could be better. You could be better since you're only doing it for Olam Haba. What's wrong with serving for Olam Haba? Again, this is in Perek Yud. Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva is the last chapter. It's the chapter of Avas Hashem. So the Rambam is saying that it's a lack of Avas Hashem if I do it because I want Olam Haba. How is that possibly a problem? So the answer probably is that it depends what you think Olam Haba is. If you think that Olam Haba is spirituality and nitzchius, an everlasting connection to the Ziv HaShchina, and everlasting spirituality, then you know what? By all means, that's an Olam Haba that you can serve Hashem for. Because what do you want? You just want more Hashem. That's what you want. But if your Olam Haba is a large screen TV, and some drinks, and endless football, so then you're going to be disappointed, because that's not Olam Haba. And it's not going to be so much fun for you. So the Rambam is saying, if you're doing it for that physical type of dream of Olam Haba, maybe it's not for you. But I think we could argue that if you're doing it for that spiritual type of Olam Haba, then that is something certainly that you can do. Because that's the shame of the Maisa Mitzvah. There's a tshuva in the Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel writes in Chelek Dalet that he says that a person does much more for the neshama if you daven with more kavana, you learn more Torah, then you just go and say Kaddish, because you think that Kaddish is a magical segula. That you think that Kaddish is a key that unlocks something special. It's much better to improve yourself and really work on your Avodas Hashem. So the question then becomes, how can a nifter get benefit when you do a mitzvah in this world? The real foundation of this discussion is a different sugya, which we're not going to talk about right now, and that is the sugya of, can you sell your Olam Haba? Can you make a deal? A person, you turn 70 years old, they look back on their life, it's pretty good, it's a pretty good life. Did daf yomi, went to meeting 3 times a day, was a good father, a good husband, maybe I could get something for this, you know? We can work out a deal. If somebody's interested in my Olam Haba, I was a pretty good guy, we'll make an arrangement, we'll make you Yisachar Zvulun. I'll give my Olam Haba, and you'll give me, you know, give me some money, and everything will be good. The Tshuvas Maharam al-Shakar is the Rosh HaMadabim, the main speaker on this topic. And the Tshuvas Maharam al-Shakar, he quotes from Maksav Yad, from a letter of Rav Hai Gaon. And there Rav Hai Gaon says that he discusses a person who gave gold coins and stipulated that the recipient was going to learn Torah and the donor would acquire the reward for the study. What we'll call a type of Yisachar Zvulun. Now, we're not going to discuss Yisachar Zvulun right now, but on that point, Rav Hai Gaon says, how can it enter a person's mind that you can acquire the reward for a mitzvah that your friend did? I can't be punished for a aver that you did, so how could I get a mitzvah for something that you did? It's not fair. And a person thinks that the reward for a mitzvah is something tangible that you carry with you in your pockets, it's in your wallet, you can take it out wherever you want. How is that such a thing? And he says that one who supports those who are involved in the performance of a mitzvah to enable them to do a mitzvah, that's something else. But to go and to buy retroactively somebody else's Torah, you can't do. And that's a very important thing. The way Yisachar Zvulun works is that really you were going to drop out of Kollel, and you're going to go to law school, whatever it is, and you know I'm going to pay you a lot more money so you can stay Kollel for more years. So I'm essentially allowing you to be able to learn more Torah. If I didn't give you the money, you wouldn't be able to stay in law school, so it wouldn't work out. You wouldn't be able to stay in Kollel. But to go back 5 years and say, you had a pretty good morning, say, to the last 5 years, can I buy that from you? Says Rav Hai Gaon, you can't retroactively go and buy someone's schar. And the Maharam al-Shakar concludes, and he says, all the words of Rav Hai Gaon are Divrei Kabbalah. They come from an exalted source, and nothing can be added, nothing can be detracted, and that's how we pass them like Rav Hai Gaon. Now, that's all talking about transferring schar from someone who's alive to a person who's alive. But what about talking about transferring schar from this world to the thing you did tonight to someone who's in the next world? How is that possible? So there is a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba writes in Chelek Zayin. The Beis Yosef discusses this Tshuvas HaRashba. The Sefer Chassidim seems to understand the Tshuvas HaRashba as well. And they all say the same thing. The Tshuvas HaRashba writes that there are 3 possible things. He says if a person passes away with unpaid debts, then you can go and pay off those debts for that person. And in Shemayim, it will be registered as if he paid himself. Okay? Somebody passes away, they owe $10,000, you write a check for $10,000, you cover the debt. Then in Shemayim, Hashem will rewrite it to say that the debts were paid and it's taken care of. That's option one, that can happen. Number 2 is that the nifter has choves klapei Shemaya. I have debts, but not to you. I have debts to Hashem. There are some things I owe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rashba says that if, whether they're for a veros or a mitzvah that was lacking, he says that all you can do is to alleviate the onesh for that person that they're going to get in Olam Haba by giving tzedakah, by doing mitzvos, but I can't go and make it as if they did something they didn't do. I can't rewrite history. I can go and deal with whatever the din v'cheshvan is going to be in Shemayim, but I can't go back and write a new story that didn't exist. If the person was not a generous person who was nice to his kids and nice to his kids and wife, I can't go back and make it like he was, if he wasn't. The 3rd thing the Rashba says is that there is no way to give new zechuyos if the actions were not done in Olam Hazeh. He is very clear. So we have here a weird balance. The Rashba, the Beisos, and the Sefer Chassidim say, you can do something, but we're not exactly sure what it is, but you can't do everything. Now, there is one exception. Well, there's two exceptions. Let me talk about two things. The first thing is that there's a special relationship between a father and a child, a parent and a child. There, it's a different discussion. If you're doing something for your late Aunt Susan, I can't help you here. That, according to the Rishonim. But if it's something being done for a parent, all of the Rishonim, the Sefer Chassidim included, say that there is some special relationship, that because the parent brought the child into this world, and because the child is now doing something because the parent brought them into this world, well, then when the child does something, it will do something for the parents. Let's look at the Sefer Chassidim. It's the second to last Sefer Chassidim. So it's easy to find. Open up Sefer Chassidim. Turn to the back page. The second to last one. Tuf, Shin Ayin Aleph. He says, Ve'eich yochol ha-maisa l'chaper al-misha l'asu b'chayev. How can an action here give kapar for something who wasn't in this world? Elakach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara mezake Abba. A son can give zechios to the father. Kagon sha'av chotze v'nosin espino lilmo Torah. U'maisim tovim ho'il ba'adei ha'av zocha ben bara mezake Abba. The father was not such a nice guy. The son did mitzvos. So the Sefer Chassidim says the son can give zechus to the parent. Ooh, it's even better. If the father gives, if the mother gives it tzava, in my passing, you should learn Mishnah. In my passing, you should be better in this mitzvah. You should strengthen yourself in this area of Avodas Hashem. That's even better. To write a ethical will, says Sefer Chassidim, is good. Because when the parent does that, and then the child does what the parent commanded, it will give zechuyos back to the parent. It's a good thing to do. That is exception number one. The other exception, which we're not going to talk about as well, is going to be in the issue of giving tzedakah. Giving tzedakah has a special place. We know that by Yontif, and when we say, when we do Yisker, Yisker is really just a giant charity appeal. That's really what it is. The Kitzner Shulchan Aruch lays this out very clearly by Hilchos Yom Kippur. There's a special inyan of tzedakah on Yom Shalosh Regalim and Yom Kippur, and from the Neshama, tzedakah plays a special role. And tzedakah is also not what we're going to talk about. But other mitzvahs that we do, how does that impact the Neshama? So I want to share with you a few things here. I want to share with you a piece from the Masoras Moshe. The Masoras Moshe is a svarim put it out by Rav Moshe Feinstein's grandchildren with the notebooks written people who were with him. So the question he wants to know is, how does it work for the rest of us? We don't know, we're doing something, we're not doing something. So what does Rav Moshe Feinstein say? He says, Im shayach l'kai mitzvah l'inosh masal rav. Rabbi Rivlin, Bikshani l'shol Rabbeinu, he asked me to ask Rav Moshe, when I do a mitzvah, is that really lezeichon the neshama of the parent? Or is it a special thing that the parents and the child has? Am I really doing something in the neshama? They ask Moshe Feinstein, what are we doing here? What's going on? Moshe said, honestly, I don't know. Rav Moshe said, it's a bit of a black box. We know that something is happening in Shemayim, and we know that when we do something here, something good happens there, but honestly, I don't know. I can't sell it to give the zechus of mitzvah to somebody else, to another person. You learn Mishnayos for somebody. So it's for the zechus. That's my mitzvah. What do you mean? I'm learning Mishnah. You're going to tell me I went to the Shiva house, I broke my teeth over two chapters of Kalim, and now this guy is going to get the zechus for it? Well, those were some long nights looking over, you know, Tumen Tara and Kalim. Why is that fair? I get the schar. Rak me'acher sheploni garam sheyilmod mekabel zechusa. So Ramosha says, maybe because this person caused me to go do this learning, that will allow it to happen. And that's something by a parent and a child. He gets from the father. I can't really add more to it. But says Ramosha again, I don't know. The whole thing is confusing. All we know is that something happens, but we don't know what happens in between. Says Ramosha, it's Kabbalah. I don't know. That's what he says. Ramosha says, he throws up his hands. He says, I don't know what to do. I know that doing something works. I can't explain why it works. I want to turn now to the special relationship, though, when it comes to the zuchus of Talmud Torah, of the tzibor, Talmud Torah, the individual, and what we have. Now, I'll be honest. You will not find, I know anywhere, particularly in Rishonim, that says that there's a zuchus of Talmud Torah above everything else. We could infer it. It says Talmud Torah keneged kulam in the Mishnah, and we know the Gemara is replete with examples saying that Talmud Torah is the greatest form of connecting to Hashem, the Zohar, Nefesh HaChayim, Kama V'Kama Mar Mekomos. But we don't have any Rishon say, and if you learn Torah, that's the best thing. But it's something that we could possibly infer. And certainly, Gedolei Acharonim and Poskim agree that it is. Let's look here at a number of statements from Acharonim who talk about this. What? Talmud Torah keneged kulam? It is, in this world. That's pashut, meaning it's when I'm in this world learning Torah, that's good for me. But who says that that's the best thing for the neshama? We do find Rishonim talking about Kaddish. We do find them talking about Staka. We do find them talking about other things. But again, I'm not going to say you shouldn't learn Torah for the neshama. Of course you should. But we don't have any. I don't know of anybody. I'm happy to hear Marim Malcolm saying explicitly in the Rishonim such a statement. Let's look at Chumash Beis Ridbaz. The Ridbaz is a fantastic posek, a fascinating character. We could spend a whole shiur just talking about the Ridbaz and his colorful personality. But he writes in his tzava to his children. This is printed at the end of the Chumash Beis Ridbaz. Melacha arichas yamai, at the end of my life, tizaru b'yom shetomru kaddish lomor gam daf gemar b'zeh hayom. He says, on the day of my yurtzeit, you better learn a daf gemara. V'miyeh chas v'shalom eze siba yisbatzlu hashir hazeh tizaru ma'od ma'od shalom lomar kaddish b'zayom klal. And he says, if you're not going to learn gemara on the day of my yurtzeit, don't say kaddish. You're not doing any favors, okay? So learn a daf gemara, don't learn anything, don't do anything else. Ki lo tasu nachas ruach l'nishmaso b'merachim kaddish b'oldim a daf gemara k'zayom tizar b'zeh. He says, be very careful. You're not doing anything around your shalom. If you're not going to learn, you're just going to say kaddish. That's the best thing you can do. It's what? That's what he's saying, yeah. That's what he's saying, yeah, for sure. It's clear, obviously, as well, from the Olam HaYeshivas, they told Bachram, I'll tell a few stories in a moment, they told Bachram and Yeshiva to not go looking for Kaddishes when there was no minyan, better to stay in Yeshiva. This is something I was repeated in many places. Look over here in the Uvdos Vanogos, the Beis Brisk, stories about the Brisker dynasty. They just published this week at Mishpacha, a rare new photo of the Brisker Rav that was never seen before. A beautiful picture of the Brisker Rav for his wedding license. So they say over here, Odos Echad Sheadar Bekfar. There was a guy who lived out of town. By a holich zman mumushach by yom yurtzeit shel av v'yimo kadei shespal lifnei amud lomar kaddish. And he's to go leave his town to go say kaddish somewhere else. There was going to be a whole schlep, and he would miss the whole day being in Beis Medrash. Amar Maran Hagriz Hatzal said the Brisker Rav, Lagon Echad Shlita, Mutavayalinatzel Hazman, Lilmo Yosef Mishnais. He says, if we're talking about what's accruing better for the neshama, better to sit and learn all day, if it's going to mean traveling back and forth just for a Kaddish. That's how the Brisker Rav felt. And when the Brisker Rav was older, and it was hard for him to daven and to learn, he asked Rav Shach to go learn Mishnais on the yurt site of Rav Chaim, because that was the greatest schar he could think of on his father's yurt site. Michtavei Rabbi Kiva Eger, the letters of Rabbi Kiva Eger in a tzava that was printed, that he told to print in the newspapers after he passed away. Im agva la'achar mea shana. If I'm to pass away after 100 years, yodiyu es pitirasi b'itonim, im hara, I want you to put my death in the newspapers. Ha'ara sheherani mevachish al timidei v'chavarai, my students and my friends, lilmo b'meshach hashana harishona, kol yom perek echad mishnayis. I prefer you learn Mishnayos, a parak of Mishnayos on my yurtzeit, l'schus es nishmasi, v'chein bayom ha-yurtzeit b'chol shana v'shana, and every yurtzeit going forward. The tzava of Yesod, v'shorosh ha-avodah of Alexander Ziskin, one of the great tzaddikim and chassidim, a talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, who at that time, a very special person, he writes over here in his tzava, which is printed at the end of the sefer. Shana rishona achar p'tirasi, Teishnu beis prakim. You should learn to prakim mishnayis b'chol yom. Be'ez a chaver dafka v'lo b'yachad. In a chabura, but not alone. Bishvil nishmasim from my neshama. Perk echad echad tefilas shachos. Perk echad echad tefilas mincha. One by shachos, one by mincha. Va'afim tu be'ez a derech is hard. You should learn the adad v'lima nishnei prakim mishnayis b'chol yom. Tichu mishnayis imachem b'derech. Make sure when you travel, you take a pocket mishnayis with you. Because the thing I want you to do the most is to learn mishnayis for my neshama. So above many gedolim as well. Now, I'm not going to spend so much time here talking about why particularly Mishnayos. Generally, we say Mishnah is osios neshama. That's generally what's said. It happens to be, there's a very beautiful pshat that I once came across in the Torah Journal Ma'ayan, which is put out by Shalavim. I don't remember who wrote the article or what the person said or who they were quoting from, but there they wrote that something special about Mishnayos. They said that a Mishnah, anyone who learned Mishnayos, and they also learn Gemara, know how frustrating Mishnayos are. Because you learn a Mishnah, you just get the Rashi Prakim, and you see a Machlokas, you don't know the rest. Once you have the taste of Gemara, Mishnayos are very difficult to learn, because it's hard to get into it. So the person wrote in this article, he said that it's the same thing about a person's life. You think you know a person in their lifetime. I knew them, I was their neighbor, we went to school together, I know them. He says, what you know about that person is just a Mishnah. There's a sugya beneath them. There's a depth to them. There's a whole personality you never got to know. And he says, the reason we learn Mishnayos is to remind us that this person who passed away, I only knew them on the surface level. I knew them at a very little bit. But did I know everything they were about? Did I know everything they stood for? Did I get to know them in the deepest sense of who they were? I'm never going to know such a person. The neshama is a lofty thing we can never comprehend. And that's why we learn Mishnayos for the neshama. Okay, a few more points. What time did I call this for? 8:35, right? So, a few more points. Can you learn one piece of Torah for a few neshamas? Can I double dip, right? I have a couple of yurtites going on today. I have a few things of my chobos I do every single day. Mishnayos, Gemara, whatever it is. Can I, two for one? It's a busy day. Is that allowed? So, Tshuvas Ra'anach talks about someone who was paid to say Kaddish, and then, that year, for somebody else, and that year his mother passed away. He was already paid to say Kaddish for somebody else, and then his mother passed away. So he brings a raya from the Tshuvas Maharil. The Tshuvas Maharil says that if a person has a minute to fast Monday, Thursday, all the time, and then Monday, Thursday happens to also fall out on a Tainus Sibor, on a regular fast day, so he said, it doesn't take away from the fact that you already fast Monday, Thursday for yourself, you're already happening on the Tainus Sibor, which I guess is connected a little bit to Shrei Chavilus a little bit, no? So you can double dip, and you can have both at the same time. So he says over there, based on this, I don't see a problem. We see that you can do both. You can say a Kaddish for one and another person at the same time. It's not a problem as well. Sefer Menucha Kedusha, Talmud Ruchayim Volozhin says, Ner la'echa, ner la'meya. Right? We know. You have one candle, and you can go from candle to candle, the flame never burns out. So what's the difference here? A Kaddish is a Kaddish for one, a Kaddish is a Kaddish for ten. It shouldn't make a difference. Rav Moshe disagrees. Rav Moshe writes in Yeridei in Chelek Aleph, he says it's Pashat. You can't say one Kaddish for multiple people. He says, I don't know what they're talking about. No such thing. It's not allowed. Instead, he says that each Kaddish during davening needs to be for a specific nifter. So if you're saying Kaddish for three people, Kaddish by Baruch Shamar will be one. Kaddish by, this one will be over there. And you have to split it up amongst different people. Yeah.
You used to only have one person saying
Kaddish. Exactly. Yeah. So he says that in that case, you have to have you can't have one person saying Kaddish. The person who's getting assigned the Kaddish at this point in davening can only say it for one person. He needs to get another Kaddish. He wants to say it for another person. That's what Moshe says. My feeling is the minhag is not like that. I think generally people do, say Kaddish for multiple people. Ratzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in Chelek Zayin. In a letter to Rav Yashiv. In that letter he says, it's pashut to me that by Kaddish and Talmud Torah, you can use both. Listen to what he writes over here. He says, it's assigned by Maestra. Let me tell you a story. Harav Hagon Rav Yisrael Velt Shlita, who was a Hungarian Rav, Mishai arrived at Budapest, Amar Li, Ki kach haya noeg pashut b'chol rechvei Hungary. The minhag of Hungary is pashut. Lahagid Kaddish al kamen iftarim ke'echad, v'oso davar gam b'limud mishnayas. You can do the same thing as well. That means, he says, if you go to a shiva house this week, and you go to a shiva next week, and you sign up for krisis, and you want to sign up for krisis again, so says the tzitzel yezer, it's mutter. You can do both. That would be allowed. Because ner la'echad, ner la'meya. It's Torah. It's endless, and it can apply to both as well. I heard in that same piece that I heard from Moshe Weiss, he said that you can say Kaddish, learn multiple people, learn Torah from multiple people if it's imposed upon you. He says you can't do is get a personal gain. He says what you can't do is, you know, people pay me money to say Kaddish, right? And, you know, I'll sign you up, you know, and I'll get a bunch of Kaddishes and I'll make a lot of money. That you can't do, that's wrong. But if a person, it naturally falls out, a person saying one for another, he said that is okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I double count priestess then?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's all part of the process. Yeah, I don't see why not.
You're making a personal seam for the whole thing.
And part of my learning priestess for myself is also I'm going to learn for them. I don't see necessarily, according to what the system I'm saying, I don't see a problem. Does it work if you're already going to a shir, or already have a seder? This is more complicated. I don't know anyone who talks about it specifically, but my feeling is no. Meaning, let's give an example. I give a shir on Thursday nights. I give a shir Monday nights, whatever it is. And somebody walks in and says, can you please say the shirs of the Nishmas or the Furish Lema for this person? Is it really? Meaning everybody in the shir is already there. Did we increase any zuchuyos? The shir is already happening. I'm not clear if that would work in the same exact way, in the same exact fashion. I don't have a raya either way, one or the other, but I think it does make sense that you'd have to do more. What I would suggest is, if the Magid shir is speaking for 30 minutes, so they're speaking for 35 minutes, 5 more minutes of Torah, that's what it would be. If you were going to sleep during the shir, so don't go to sleep. Do something else. Enhance the shir. Enhance the Talmud Torah. If the shir is already being given, then it's hard to say what that argument would be. It happens, they do this sometimes in SK where I teach. They'll get in the Lazarus and say, everyone should have a mind. If they just learn the Nishmas, you know, this and this person from this family. It's hard to say why. Did the girls not, were they not? I wasn't going to go to school today, but thanks to the Shapiro family, you know, now I can go to school. If it wasn't for this, the SK would have closed. Like, you know, the Baruch Hashem, they sent in $360 so we could open the doors today. It's very nice. Essentially, you're giving it tzedakah. Tzedakah is great. But to say that the learning is because of that, it's hard for me to say that you're making, to make such an argument. Just a few more points. We're running, I have 2 minutes left. So I just want to make a few more points. You can see the rest inside. Where Yosef Shaul Nathanson writes in the Divrei Shaul, he tells a story and he says at the end, he says, much better that a person should learn Torah and give up the Kaddish to somebody else. If there's a machlokas over who should get Kaddish, much better to learn Torah. Give the Kaddish, give the Amud on the Yurt site, go learn a Daf Gemara, much better for the Neshama. Similarly, a very fiery piece in the Birka Yosef, the Chidah writes in the Rechaim Reish Pei Dalad, by the Halachos of Haftorah. He says, who should get the Haftorah? A Talmid Chacham or a Baal Habos? Talmid Chacham, a guy who's a big Talmid Chacham holding a Shas and Poskim. Should he say the Haftorah for the Yurt site? Or should the Baal Habos say the Haftorah for the Yurt site? So he says, give the Haftorah to the Baal Habos. You're a Talmid Chacham. Go learn more. Go do something more. It's more zechuyos. You can do much greater than saying the Haftorah. That's the better zechus. Give it up to somebody else instead. The Yosef Ometz writes over here, Achein tikun eino rak l'ame aratzos. He says, these things, they're saying the Kaddish is for people who don't know how to do anything else. Aval lima Torah moel shivasai mikol anal. Again, we're not saying not to say Kaddish. Of course you should say Kaddish for the Nesham. Of course we should. But learning Torah is so much greater. V'al yidei kein machznis in sameis ha-gan eden. That brings the mace to Gan Eden. And if you say Chiddush Torah, and you come up with a Chiddush on the Parsha, a Chiddush on the Gemara, oof, that's much, much greater. And it's much more star. Rabbi Leibowitz said something over from Rabbi Reisman. So I'll finish something else with Rabbi Reisman. We'll mirror a little bit. Rabbi Reisman tells the following point from his Rabbi Rav Pam. That Rav Pam had said when he was a young boy, he was learning in Kavna as a young boy, that it would be nice if his mother knew someone was going to Kavna, he would send, a letter, something like that. She had like some muffins in the freezer or something, she would send something small. If she knew that he was leaving the next day and she could prepare, then he would write a letter and a beautiful note and send something nicer. But if she knew that someone was traveling to Kavna to her son, and she had 2 or 3 days, she'd make a kugel. She'd peel the potatoes to make a new thing, bake a beautiful kugel, wrap it up beautifully with a beautiful letter and a bow, and she would send the kugel to Rav Pam, who was learning in Kavna. So Rav Pam said, when we have the neshamas in the next world, in the next place, and we want to do something for that neshama, And we don't even understand how it works, but we know that it works. So Rav Pam said, "Some you can say a Kaddish, you can do that, and that's good. It's like sending a letter. And you can do other things as well. But if you want to send a Kugel, because if you want to send a Kugel to the next world, increase your Talmud Torah. Increase your dedication to Torah. Increase your Esek HaTorah. That is the best thing you can do. Because you are sending a gift, you are sending a Sechus that is immeasurable compared to anything else." And that is how Rav Pam addressed this sugya. I want to say that the learning should be L'Nishmas, the Kedoshim, and should be L'Nishmas those people. I don't know. We know that it does something in some way. I am not Kadosh Baruch Hu's secretary, but it should be in some way helpful for the Neshamas and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you.